Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia gain after yesterday's U.S. equity rally.
Strong earnings give a boost to stocks in Europe.
Investors await a Fed decision for clues on 2019 policy.
And Tesla names its pick to replace Elon Musk as chairman.
Special counsel Robert Mueller is answering to a new boss who has blasted his Russia investigation. I'm Michael Barr. More on acting attorney general Matthew Whitaker straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower at Sports. The Knicks beat the Hawks in Atlanta. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold is injured, unlikely to play on Sunday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Equities in Asia and Europe are higher following yesterday's U.S. stock rally. The uptick may be short-lived, though, with U.S. futures pointing to a softer open. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 79 and NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is lower. It's down 0.2%, and so is the CAC in Paris, while the FTSE 100 is little change this morning. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.8%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 3.21%, yield on the 2-year 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 38 cents to $62.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.20 at $12.2350 an ounce. The euro, $1.1416, the yen 113.69, and the data check brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management business of Prudential Financial Inc. Nathan.
Karen, yesterday's U.S. stock rally did extend to most of Asia today as investors speculate divided Congress could be good for returns. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index gained almost 1%, led by a strong performance from Japanese equities. Although markets in mainland China slipped into the red, the CSI 300 closing down by 0.3%. Data out showed Chinese export growth accelerated in October as companies rushed to make shipments before higher tariffs from the US kick in. The Indonesian rupiah and Philippine peso were the best performing Asian currencies as investors betted the end of the US midterms was a clear sign the broad dollar strength could be coming to an end. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe are gaining as well as we get a flood of earnings from the continent this morning. Bloomberg Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Let's start with Commerzbank, where spending on new clients is starting to pay off. The German lender's 900,000 new customers are helping to push income from lending to the highest in more than 2 years. The stock up by some 4.75%. At Societe Generale, equities trading business grew for the first time in more than a year, revenue jumping by 19% in the last quarter, beating estimates. That stock up by 2.7%. And UniCredit, where a surprise $972 million charge against Turkish assets and the cutting of its 2018 and 2019 revenue targets proved a last-minute hurdle for the bank's turnaround plans, the stock dropping by 2.75%. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Seb, thanks. A German bank could soon find itself under scrutiny from the House Financial Services Committee. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who could head that committee after Democrats take control of the House, says she's going to look into Deutsche Bank's ties to President Trump.
We have requested information from the Treasury about everything from sanctions to Deutsche Bank. And we know that Deutsche Bank is identified as one of the biggest money laundering banks, in the world, perhaps. And that they're the only ones who were, amenable to providing loans to this president.
A majority in the House gives Democrats authority to issue subpoenas. Waters could use that authority to get documents from Deutsche Bank.
At 2 p.m. Wall Street time, the Federal Reserve issues its latest policy decision, with the central bank likely to keep rates steady. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Futures trading imply the Fed's next quarter point move will be at the December meeting. The strong economy provides wide latitude. So does inflation near at the Fed's target. Bloomberg Economics anticipates Fed officials will maintain an upbeat tone about the U.S. economy in their official policy statement. Bottom line, they're looking for a soft landing. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thanks. Bonds in Italy are falling after this headline. The European Union says economic growth in the country next year will be weaker than the government targets, and the nation's budget will move dangerously close to the EU limit of 3%. The report's part of an overview of the European economy. It marks another shot in the dispute between authorities in Brussels and Italy's government.
Turning to corporate news now, Tesla has announced its pick to replace Elon Musk as chairman. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Robin Denholm, currently one of two women on the nine-member board, is elevated to chair effective immediately. Denholm will leave her role as chief financial officer and head of strategy at an Australian telecom company. She previously worked at Toyota, Sun Microsystems, and Juniper Networks. It's the end of an era for Musk as part of an SEC settlement related to his tweets on taking the company private. Musk had to give up the chairman position he held for 14 years. He'll remain chief executive officer and a director. The Tesla board is actively continuing to search for two more independent directors. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Shares of Qualcomm are down 5% after the company gave a tepid sales forecast for the current quarter. This after a legal dispute with Apple prompted the iPhone maker to stop placing orders with the chip maker.
And Disney headlines a list of 16 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Bloomberg Intelligence says parks and resorts likely remained a bright spot after new attractions were added this year. And film revenue should look good compared to those from a year ago, even though Disney released fewer movies in the latest third quarter. But while headwinds from a drop in traditional cable subscribers have moderated, ratings may have weighed on advertising revenue. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And again, futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down 11 points. Dow futures down 60. NASDAQ futures down about 39. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. After the midterm election, change at the Justice Department. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has that and more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is answering to a new boss, Matthew Whitaker, who has openly criticized his Russia investigation. Whitaker has the power to constrain it or end it as President Donald Trump wishes. President Trump forced Jeff Sessions to resign yesterday as Attorney General and named Whitaker. Counselor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway, says Whitaker has done a fabulous job in his previous role.
Well, I've worked with Matt Whitaker on several things here at the White House. He's been the chief of staff of the Department of Justice for over a year, and he was a U.S. attorney for about 5 or 6 years in Iowa before that, a previous candidate.
In the middle of a press conference yesterday, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer got the news.
I'm not going to say much until I read what they said and why. I find the timing very suspect.
President Donald Trump told reporters that he's interested in working with House Democrats on infrastructure, health care, and taxes. And their leader, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, spoke of a responsibility to seek common ground where they can. But Pelosi says Democrats won't back down on oversight responsibilities. There has been a mass shooting at a California bar and grill in Thousand Oaks. At least 11 people are wounded. Garrow Krajan is with the Ventura County Sheriff's Department.
I can't tell you the condition of either the deputy or those that are injured inside, but I can tell you that this is still a very active scene.
The White House suspended the press pass of CNN reporter Jim Acosta hours after the president held a tense post-election news conference. UK Prime Minister Theresa May has begun briefing her cabinet on the text of the almost complete Brexit deal. Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff says this comes as negotiators seek to finalize the last outstanding issue.
Senior ministers have been invited to examine the 95% of the withdrawal package that's been agreed so far, according to people familiar. What's missing is the most contentious part of the deal, the guarantee to keep goods trade flowing freely across the Irish border. This as options are now being negotiated in detail by British and European officials in Brussels. Sources say that if these talks are successful, officials will declare that decisive progress has been made on the terms of the UK's exit from the bloc. And according to British officials, this could happen next week or even as early as today. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Radio.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, if nothing else, the Knicks can beat the Atlanta Hawks. They've done it twice now. Blowout win opening night at the Garden. Closer last night in Atlanta, but the Knicks able to win 112-107. Tim Hardaway's been the top scorer all season. Sat out the most recent game, the double overtime loss of Chicago, but returned last night, scored 34 points, all but seven in the second half. Nearly half his point total came from the free throw line. So two Nick wins against Atlanta and two against everyone else so far this season. When the Jets take on Buffalo Sunday, it appears the quarterback will be the veteran, Josh McCown. The rookie, Sam Darnold, has a strained foot, which is right now in a boot. Here was Coach Todd Bowles yesterday.
If it gets later in the week and we determine it, that's fine. Today's Wednesday. If he doesn't practice tomorrow and doesn't practice Friday, then it's a foregone conclusion, but we'll see how it goes.
Giants back from their bye, play the 49ers Monday night. Their coach, Pat Shurmur, on their QB situation.
I spoke to Eli a couple times this weekend, and I explained to Eli that he's going to start Monday. I also explained to Eli that everybody needs to play better, and as we go through this, you know, it's important that we're not almost in these games. We do what we have to do to get it over the top and win football games, so we'll just take it from there.
Only won once so far. The New Orleans Saints have only lost once, and now they've added free agent wide receiver Dez Bryant, the longtime Cowboy. The Yankees will start next season without shortstop D.D. Gregorius due to Tommy John surgery. They are hopeful catcher Gary Sanchez will be ready to go for opening day, but he's having shoulder surgery. Yanks made it official, the CC Sabathia contract for one more year. CC making it official. Next season will be his last. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, in other sports news, Tiger Woods is reportedly turning down more than $3 million to play overseas. The Telegraph reports he is not playing in the European Tour's inaugural event in Saudi Arabia next year after the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. This is Bloomberg. Sports brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg Business. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and today we are watching for a Federal Reserve interest rate decision out at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. Ahead of that, we get the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 and the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 9:45. Global stock markets are extending a rally that was built in the wake of midterm elections as strong corporate results gave an additional boost to European equities. The uptick may be short-lived, however, as futures are declining this morning. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 11 points, Dow futures down 62, NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent now. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.22%, the yield on the 2-year 2.95%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 45 cents to $62.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% on $4.40 to $12.24.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.20, the yen, 113.74, and Walt Disney is among 16 companies in the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. At least 11 people were shot late Wednesday when a gunman opened fire in a crowded Southern California bar. Authorities say the bar in Thousand Oaks was filled with college students. The Ventura County Sheriff's Department official also was shot and taken to a hospital. A spokesman for the Sheriff's Department says the gunman is dead. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is answering to a new boss who has blasted his Russia investigation. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker replaces Jeff Sessions, who was asked to step down by President Trump.
In the NBA, the Knicks won. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined this morning by Megan Green. She's the chief economist at Manulife Asset Management. Megan, we're coming off this market rally. Traders seem to like the return of divided government. What's the impact economically, though, for the return of divided government in Washington? Is there any?
Well, so a divided government does mean it's going to be really hard to get anything through, clearly. I think there's going to be a ton of investigations that will take up most of the oxygen in the room. But there are two things I think we can expect from this government. One is some kind of agreement on drug pricing. So both parties can agree that, you know, drug prices are too high. They're not big fans of big pharma. And so that should affect the healthcare and pharma industries. And then secondly, and maybe more importantly, I do think we might be able to get some kind of deal on infrastructure spending. The key right now is figuring out how to pay for it. That's always the key. But the Democrats and Republicans, in principle, are both agreed on that. So we might get a little bit of a stimulus, actually, which could extend the recovery a bit longer. So it has been consensus thinking that we'll go into recession at 2020 because the tax bill and spending bill run out. I actually think they're going to extend the recovery a bit longer with more stimulus. And then we might get the economy continuing to grow through the next election period.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about stimulus on two fronts there. If drug prices go down, that gives consumers more money in their pockets to spend on other things. Of course, infrastructure spending has its own stimulative effect. But if there is a drag on this government, if it gets bogged down in investigations or any other distractions, I mean, that could affect the outlook as well, couldn't it?
It could economically, though. We've had governments in Europe, for example. The Belgian government didn't exist for over a year, and their economy did just fine. So it turns out, actually, if you don't have the government doing a whole lot and you just extend what had already been legislated and continue behaving according to that, then the economy can tick along. It doesn't necessarily tank the economy. And as you point out, actually, the markets really love gridlock.
Yeah, you said quite nicely into the next topic I wanted to take us into with the European Union now putting numbers on Italy's budget and why it won't fly. The tensions are really rising here now, and we're seeing Italian bond yields spike on this news this morning. Where does this end?
So that's the ultimate question, and none of us know. We all knew that the Italian government had three choices. It could cave really quickly to the EU's demands. It could cave slowly. Or it could kind of drive Italy off a cliff and leave the euro. And the cave quickly option is off the table now based on the Italian government's behavior. So it's unclear. Nobody knows because nobody has seen this Italian government pressured by the markets. And that's what it's going to take. It's not the European Union putting out statements that the budget won't fly. It's the markets that are going to apply the pressure. And this government might be like the Greek government in 2015. So it pushes, 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 and then has to capitulate at the last minute. But there is a chance that this government will keep going. Neither party is particularly euro-friendly. And when you ask them about euro membership, they highlight that leaving the euro is not part of the official program, which is hardly comforting. So you could imagine them saying, especially with pressure from the markets and Brussels, that this European project just isn't worth it. It's not my base case scenario, but it would be so calamitous for the European project. I think it's worth thinking about.
All right, let's turn back to the U.S. in our last couple minutes together. The Federal Open Market Committee puts out its policy statement at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. What will you be looking for?
Yeah, I think this Fed meeting will probably be a bit of a nothing burger. So I do expect that they'll keep rates where they are, that, you know, the balance sheet roll-off will continue on autopilot. But it is the last meeting we'll have for the Fed without a press conference. So it's notable for that. And also, I think the Fed will probably be a little bit more optimistic about the economic outlook than they were back in September. So we could see, you know, some improvement in growth expectations.
All right, what makes you say that? And what could that spell out in terms of changes in the language?
So some of the economic data has come in continually strong. We've got Q3 data for GDP as well, so they could upgrade their forecast a little bit. How would it spell out in language changes? It would be incredibly nuanced. So, you know, that they might upgrade something about, you know, balanced risks or risks on the upside or something along those lines. To be honest, I don't have their last text memorized. but, you know, I think it will be something really nuanced and nothing that will particularly move the market. So, like I said, I think this will be a nothing burger of a Fed meeting. But it is the last one with no press conference now that Powell's going to go ahead and have press conferences with all 8 Fed meetings next year.
Megan Green, Chief Economist for Manulife Asset Management. Always good to have you on. And again, the Federal Open Market Committee puts out its policy statement at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Nothing burger or not. We've got full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. And taking a forward look at the markets this morning, they are pointed lower with S&P futures down 12 or about 0.4%. Dow futures down 0.25%, 67 points. NASDAQ futures are off by 46 points. That is a drop of 0.6%. Of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And it is 5:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling, following yesterday's rally on Wall Street and ahead of a policy decision from the Federal Reserve. No move forecast, though traders will look for clues on policy for 2019.
China's exports accelerated in October as companies rush to make shipments before higher tariffs kick in. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
Exports rose 15.6% in October from a year earlier. That was a beat on estimates of 11.7%. Imports surged 21.4%, easily topping estimates. The trade surplus widened to $34 billion. With the U.S. alone, it was $31.78 billion. Now, the U.S. plans to increase tariffs on more Chinese imports to 25% in January. Given that, there's a huge incentive for Chinese companies and their American customers to jack up trade as much as they can in the short term. I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks. Bonds in Italy are falling after the European Union said economic growth next year will be weaker than Italian government targets. The EU also says Italy's budget will move dangerously close to the euro area limit of 3%.
Tesla has a new chairman. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Robin Denholm, one of two women currently on the 9-member board, replaces Elon Musk as chair. The move takes effect right away. Musk will remain chief executive officer and a director. He had to give up the chairman role as part of a fraud settlement with regulators after tweets about taking Tesla private. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Shares of Qualcomm are down 5%. The biggest maker of smartphone chips gave a tepid sales forecast for the current quarter. Disney leads 16 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
In Europe, shares of Commerzbank are up 4%. The bank reported revenue within the range of estimates and maintained its outlook.
Societe Generale shares are up 3%. The French bank's key equities trading business grew for the first time in more than a year.
Shares of UniCredit are down 2%. The Italian lender took a surprise $972 million charge related to its Turkish business. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 77. NASDAQ futures down 53. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.22%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 33 cents at $62.01. A barrel, and the euro, $1.1422. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has got an eye on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. We'll have the latest on the firing of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, but first, breaking news. At least 11 people were shot inside a Southern California bar late Wednesday, and there are reported fatalities. Garo Karajan is with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office. He says the injured include a sheriff's deputy.
We have investigators that are looking to make sure that the scene inside the nightclub is safe, and it's going to take some time.
Authorities say the gunman is dead inside the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. The bar's website says it hosts College Country Night every Wednesday. Police say hundreds were inside when the shooting occurred. He's now the acting attorney general and special counsel Robert Mueller's boss. Matthew Whitaker has openly criticized Mueller's Russia investigation. President Trump forced Jeff Sessions to resign and name Whitaker to the post. Consular to the president, Kellyanne Conway, says Whitaker spent more than a year as the Department of Justice's chief of staff.
He's done a fabulous job, really, and I think as a former U.S. attorney, he understands all the business that's before the Department of Justice.
Democratic Party leader Nancy Pelosi says House Democrats will use their new majority to seek deals with President Trump on infrastructure spending and prescription drug costs, but won't back down on their oversight responsibilities. Pelosi is in line to regain the Speaker's gavel. The White House suspended the press pass of CNN reporter Jim Acosta hours after the president held a tense post-election news conference. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The president and Mr. Acosta have had past exchanges. This one got heated.
Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people.
The White House says Acosta's credentials were revoked because he placed his hands on an intern who had been instructed to take his mic. Bloomberg's Justin Sink has reviewed the video and says they may have accidentally touched, but...
nothing that would suggest conduct that would be violent in some way and deserving of a White House credential to be pulled.
And the president actually motioned to the woman, who immediately dropped into a crouch. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, at least until Kristaps Porzingis returns, the Knicks' go-to player is Tim Hardaway. They didn't have him in the most recent game. They lost at home in two overtimes. He returned last night in Atlanta, scored 27 second-half points, 34 in the game. He made 16 for the free-throw line. The Knicks beat the Hawks 112-107. Hardaway averaging 24 points per game. He's the 13th leading scorer in the NBA. Jets rookie quarterback Sam Darnold not only threw four interceptions last Sunday, he suffered a strained foot. His coach, Todd Bowles.
I didn't hear about it until Monday. He was fine on the plane. I guess he got banged up and got tests run. I guess it got worse. So I don't know what play specifically. Told me when he cut, but that could have been on any number of plays.
Bowles has not ruled Darnold out for Sunday's game with Buffalo, but it appears the Jets will be cautious and turn to the veteran Josh McCown. Eli Manning, still the Giants starter, but with a 1-7 record. They may want to look at rookie Kyle Lauletta, though. He didn't help his chances of getting on the field when he was arrested by cops in New Jersey last week.
You know, the incident that happened last week is a terrible representation of who I am and what I stand for. And, you know, I do recognize that, you know, those cops have a very difficult job, an important job at that. You know, I've seen that intersection when there are no officers, and, you know, it's very chaotic. So, you know, I respect those guys and can't say, you know, I'm sorry enough about what happened.
NFL Week 10 starts tonight. Should be a good game. Pittsburgh at Carolina. Dez Bryant now in New Orleans Saint, and later this month he'll face his old team, the Cowboys. Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez will have surgery on his shoulder. They hope he'll be able to go opening day. CC Sabathia says his new one-year contract to return to the Yankees will be the final season of his career. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's a special issue of the magazine focused on the Bloomberg New Economy Forum. Also in this week's edition, why economic booms in China and India led to bad water and filthy air. Eric Roston wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
We're looking at a specific kind of pollution, a very deadly kind, called particulate matter. It's very small. And Asian cities in recent years have grown particularly, you know, infested with this toxic pollution.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Businessweek with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. Manhattan apartment rents went up in October for a second month in a row. The median rent before landlord concessions are factored in rose 2.8% from a year earlier, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and broker Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Google is planning a major expansion in New York City. The Wall Street Journal says the company plans to add space for more than 12,000 workers. Paper says Google has New York real estate deals in the works that would give it room for nearly 20,000 employees. Atlantic City saw a four-step upgrade in its credit rating this month, getting a B2 debt grade and a positive outlook from Moody's. But NJ Spotlight says Moody's also made clear Atlantic City still has some challenges, including close ties between the resort and the still shaky casino gambling industry. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks very much. 5:39 now on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team, find out some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford has acquired electric scooter sharing startup Spin.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. It's Amazon Schmamazon as Google plans a big Manhattan expansion.
I'm August Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a blow for Britain's nuclear industry as Toshiba pulls the plug on a new reactor project.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WFLA in Orlando, we're watching for earnings from Disney.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on WJFK, the Fan in Washington, D.C., we're talking about quarterly results from Discovery Communications.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following for you, cannabis stocks got a boost with the ouster of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Exchange-traded funds that track marijuana jumped to new highs on that news. They rose as much as 9%. Sessions was a major opponent of marijuana legalization. The overall market is pointed lower ahead of the open on Wall Street. S&P futures are down 13 points, a drop of nearly 0.5%. Dow futures down 83 or 0.3%. NASDAQ futures are down by 53 points. That is a drop of 0.7%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth, accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we're watching for a Federal Reserve interest rate decision at a 2 o'clock Wall Street time. Ahead of that, we get the weekly initial jobless claims numbers at 8:30 and the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at 9:45. Ahead of that, U.S. stock index futures are lower, with S&P futures down about 14 points, Dow futures down 79, and NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 3.22%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.94%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 29 cents to $61.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $4.60 to $12.24.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1421. The yen, 113.72. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Ventura County Sheriff's Sergeant says a gunman is dead inside a Southern California bar where 11 people were injured late Wednesday. Authorities say a responding deputy was shot and taken to a hospital. Authorities say the first reports of shots fired came around 11:20 p.m. at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, which is about 40 miles west of Los Angeles. Police say the bar was full of college students. The resignation of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General could have an impact on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Sessions' Chief of Staff, Matthew Whitaker, is the new Acting Attorney General. Before Whitaker joined the Justice Department, he blasted the probe. In the NBA, the Knicks won. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Joining us live now, Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Jen. And out this morning, David Fickling with a look at our biggest cities running out of road. So there are places where traffic's worse than New York and London, huh?
No, you are shocked, I'm sure, but there actually are a number of places. So Fickling is looking at some rankings that have been produced by TomTom. And TomTom has said that the world's most congested places are pretty much dominated by emerging markets. Among cities in rich countries, only L.A. makes it to the top 15. And really, then it's only just. So the problem here is that this issue is likely going to get worse. For every 40 registered vehicles, or for every kilometer of road in the U.S. or France, there are about 40 registered vehicles. But for countries such as Iran, Thailand, and Vietnam, there are more than 200 vehicles for every kilometer of road. There's a real
wow.
big jam there. I know.
Yeah, that is a big jam to say the least. So how do emerging markets deal with that?
Well, you can take a really government-led initiative by such as congestion charges, which is what we have here in London. You can ration space on the road. Or you can take Singapore's approach by mandating special permits for car ownership and using lotteries to dole these out. Then there are some more free market solutions, but those don't necessarily work quite so well. You know, if you lean on something such as a ride-hailing service, you might just tempt riders away from higher-capacity public transport.
Yeah, I mean, so are there any longer term solutions that these places can look at?
Well, what Fickling argues is that it really is a matter of looking much more carefully at public transportation, because that's likely what's going to be the most effective in getting cars off the road and getting people moving around these congested urban areas. I mean, luckily, this is kind of already underway. The world is poised to add just as much new metro rail track in the next 5 years or so as it has in the previous 150 years. But governments in the developing world that are either too poor or too corrupt or, you know, too enamored of democracy to match, like, the ferocious will that cities such as Beijing have to expand their inner urban transport networks are going to find it a lot harder to accommodate their swelling populations.
All right, so let's move on to the developed world now. Marcus Ashworth says Norway's giant fund has a first world problem. Tell us how this $1 trillion sovereign wealth fund is getting into knots.
Yeah, this is the world's biggest sovereign wealth fund, so it's really worth paying attention to what they're doing. And so as part of a long-running review, they're going to lift the equity allocation to 70%, and they've appointed a panel of outside experts to advise on how the bond portion should be invested. But what's interesting is that its own in-house managers are saying that they should really think about some more active management because they don't really want to be echoing the same kind of exposure that's already there in the equity portion of the fund.
And so this debate points to an existential question then?
Yeah, it really does get to the active versus passive debate. And what the managers are saying, what the external experts are saying, you know, they're saying that they really should just follow the herd because it's really not humanly possible to get the sector allocation decisions right consistently. And so what this boils down to is what a fixed income fund should really be for. And do you want to tie the hands of your fund managers when they're so eager to go their own way?
All right, real quickly, where do Ashworth's sympathies lie then?
He lies on the side of the active managers because, you know, you've got the Fed raising rates. You've got a lot of difficulty with liquidity in the bond market. You should really let people free to pick their spots as opposed to buying something that you already know in advance might be kind of tricky for you in the future.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always. You can read more of this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Type in OPIN. Go, Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Congress is talking infrastructure again. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer says he hopes President Trump will reduce some of the tax hikes for corporations and the wealthy to help pay for an infrastructure package. The American Institute of CPAs is asking the IRS and Treasury Department to clarify stricter limits on executive compensation deductions. And the Democratic House takeover is likely to delay ratification of a trade deal with Canada and Mexico and force the Trump administration to make changes.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, it's a new era for President Trump as he faces a Democratic House armed with subpoena power. Impeachment is possible, but investigations in areas that House Republicans shielded him from are more likely. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Chris Strom, who covers the Justice Department for Bloomberg News.
At a minimum, you're going to see hearings into several issues that the Democrats have felt
were being neglected by the Republicans. And so there's going to be hearings into whether there's any kind of corruption within the administration at the cabinet secretary levels. There'll be investigations into border security and how children have been treated at the border with the policy of separating children from their mothers. Adam Schiff, who's in line to take over the Intelligence Committee, has talked about wanting to look into Trump's finances and whether that has any connection to Russian interference in the 2016 election. But Democrats need to pull back at first and kind of get together and figure out exactly which lines they want to pursue and where the boundaries are of when they feel that they might be overreaching. And so we can expect in the coming weeks for the incoming chairpersons of the committees to kind of work out their lanes.
One thing that people are already talking about are subpoenas from House committees for Trump's tax returns. Now, is he likely to fight that?
Yes, I think Trump has made it clear that he is not going to willingly turn over his taxes. At his press conference, he went as far to say that if the Democrats start issuing subpoenas into areas that he doesn't approve, he's willing to go on a warlike footing with them and to shut down any kind of efforts at legislative compromise. And so Trump kind of put a line in the sand right away the day after the election, saying that if the Democrats come after him with subpoenas, it's going to grind the legislative process to a halt, and he's willing to go to war with them.
That's Bloomberg News Justice Department reporter Chris Strom speaking with June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF Report. It's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Selecting an ETF to invest in used to be all about brand names. Is that still true? Let's find out from Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst Eric Balchunas. Eric.
In terms of the big passive brands like BlackRock and Vanguard, they're still raking in the majority of the cash. The brand names here I'm talking about are the rock star managers, namely on the bond side, DoubleLine and PIMCO. Guess what? Their ETFs are seeing outflows for the first time almost ever, especially in DoubleLine's case. The reason is because total return bond funds are getting shaken up a little bit by rising rates. So even though they're all still beating the aggregate bond index, they're down on the year. And so once the investors see red over 12 months or a year, they tend to pull money out regardless of whether you're beating the index and regardless of what's on the label. So I think it shows that brands are very good when times are good. But in the case when you start putting up, you know, red performance numbers, people can be pretty fickle.
A star in the past, no guarantee for a star in the future. Thanks very much. Our star when it comes to ETFs, Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures are down about 14 points now. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures down 48. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.22%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.